The title of our message this morning is Saints Alive, based on readings from Isaiah 25 and 26. And please, I'm asking every member of the congregation to take out of their bulletin the sermon outline, because we are going to read aloud together the sermon text. The text from Isaiah 25 and 26 is printed for you on your sermon insert, and we'll read those words together. Let's read. And the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples upon this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. And on this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God, for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And God says, Your dead will live, their bodies will rise, you who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. And you're encouraged now to follow the rest of the sermon on our sermon outline as we consider our theme, Saints Alive. Well, a generation ago, a favorite saying of my grandmother, maybe it was a favorite saying of your grandmother as well. When my grandma got excited, often she would say, Well, Saints Alive! And I remember hearing my mother around the house when she was doing housework singing this song. Oh, when the saints come marching in, oh, when the saints come marching in, etc. I won't bore you with the rest. I don't want to spoil your lunch before you have it, hearing my singing. Saints Alive. Oh, when the saints come marching in, today is All Saints Day. Again, the biblical definition of a saint is a person whose sins have been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior. That's why St. Paul begins so many of his books of the New Testament with these words, to the saints of Rome, to the saints in Corinth, to the saints in Ephesus. Today we could say to the saints in Richmond, to the saints gathered at Trinity Lutheran Church. Heaven is the destiny of all of God's saints. And so today we've come to gather to remember those who have gone ahead. And we've also come to celebrate God's gift of heaven through His grace to us. Heaven is the destiny of all God's saints. And if you notice your outline today, we're going to talk about heaven with the four B's. Heaven, the banquet. Heaven, the battle. Heaven, the blessing. And heaven, the beauty. First, heaven, the banquet. Only the best in this heavenly banquet. Listen to Isaiah 25:6, the first verse on your handout. And the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples upon this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, refined aged wine. Isaiah envisions heaven as a banquet on a mountaintop. And here God serves only the best and the most sumptuous of foods. No McDonald's in heaven. Only the best. That's God's banquet. 100 times better than grandma's best Thanksgiving meal will be the banquet in heaven, says Isaiah. But the real banquet, says Holy Scripture, the real banquet, the true treasure that we will share, is everlasting peace, everlasting security, everlasting joy, reunion with our loved ones, tears wiped away. Everything as it should be will be served at this banquet. How is it possible? The next point, only because of the battle. The battle that gets us heaven is this. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Listen to the text. And on this mountain, He will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, the veil stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time, says Isaiah. And God says, your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Isaiah says that God will swallow up the covering that's covering all people. So I ask you, what is the covering? What is the veil that covers all people to this day? The text gives the answer in verse 8. Look at your handout. He will swallow up death for all time. Isaiah says, that reality that covers all of us up, that reality that so many of us are afraid to face, our own death, that inescapable blanket that covers us all, Isaiah says, God will do away with. But Isaiah says, God will swallow up death. There's a word play in the Hebrew language going on here. The word for death in Hebrew is maoth. Maoth. The word for the god of death of pagan nations around is Moloch. This pagan god is pictured as a big god with a large mouth that never quits swallowing people. It was their way of saying, people keep dying, death keeps swallowing, it never ends. But Isaiah says, God will swallow the swallower. He will defeat death once and for all. In the New Testament, St. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to the similarity in language. St. Paul writes, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heaven the banquet, heaven the battle, and now heaven the blessing. What is the blessing of heaven? Look at the second part of verse 8. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and He will remove the reproach from His people from all the earth. In a personal loving act, Isaiah promises, God will wipe every tear from our faces. I can't wait. I am tired of tears. I am tired of heartaches. I am tired of sorrows. I am tired as a pastor of seeing my people suffer with illness and heartache and burdens. I am sorry of saying, tired of saying goodbye to my loved ones. I'm tired of crying over my own tears and offenses. And Isaiah says, in that day, God Himself will wipe every tear from your eyes. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow. God will wipe away your tears. Are you spending quite a bit of your days these days in tears, in fear, in anxiety, and sorrow, saying goodbye to your loved ones? The Lord says, in that day, God will wipe every tear from our eyes. Revelation 21 puts it this way. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, for the old order of things has completely passed away. Heaven, the banquet, the battle, the blessing, and now the beauty. The beauty of heaven, says this text, is seeing God face to face. Verse 9. And it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God for whom we've waited. Let's rejoice and be glad in His salvation. Isaiah saves the best part of heaven for last. The best part of heaven is not the banquet. It's not the battle won. It's not the blessing of tears God. The best part of heaven, Isaiah says, is the beauty of seeing God face to face and being in His presence forever. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 17. I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied. Heaven is a gift for all of God's saints, for all of those who have put their faith in Jesus and His shed blood. Heaven is a gift. Ephesians says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not by our works, so no one can boast. Heaven is a gift, not as so many think today. Heaven comes by good deeds, hard work, nice lives, even coming to church. No, the Scripture tells us, the Bible is very clear, that we are all sinners. The Bible is very clear, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Ezekiel 18 verse 4 says this, the soul that sins shall surely die. And a dead man is not able to work. A dead man is not able to earn. A dead man is not able to buy his way into heaven. What is the only thing a dead man can do? The only thing a dead man can do is stink. The Scripture says heaven is a free gift, but it's not cheap. Listen to Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heaven is free for us, but it came at a horrible price. Heaven is God's free gift to us, but it came at an expensive cost. The very lifeblood of Jesus your Savior, as He gave His life for you and me to pay for our sins on the cross. And this faith, this gift of heaven, is received through simple faith. Did you know? This may be hard for you to believe, but did you know that you're saved through your good looks? Did you know that you are saved through your good looks? Now, when you look at me, you might say, how could that possibly be? When you look at somebody as cute as Ilsa, well, you'd say, of course, that's quite possible. Ilsa says, yes. Listen carefully to these passages of Scripture. We are saved by our good looks. I'm playing with you here, but listen to the text. Isaiah 45:22 says, look to me, says the Lord, and be saved, for I am God and there's no other. Hebrews 12:2, look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Titus 2, we look for the blessed hope, the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are saved by your good looks, by the one you look toward, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Finally, heaven is something that we need to get ready for. And so now we're taking a time, I guess you could say, as we said in the past, to quit preaching and start meddling a bit. All Saints Sunday is a very important Sunday of the year for us to ask the question, am I ready for my own death? So let's talk just a moment about our death and our burial plans. Have you thought about, or have you written down, your funeral plans? Do you have an up-to-date will for your loved ones or for your church? Have you established a power of attorney, someone to make legal decisions for you when you need that to happen? Have you put together a personal directive? for someone to make medical decisions for you when you no longer are able? Have you placed your important papers in a place that's accessible and known to your loved ones? Why do I ask such questions? Because as a pastor now for these many years, I have seen the heartache and the struggles of loved ones left behind when their deceased family member did not make these provisions or plans. As a Christian, advanced preparation is a statement of faith. It's not a sad or a morose or a gross thing to consider. It's a statement of faith that says, Jesus said to me, because I live, you shall live also. Heaven is my home. Because I know that for sure through God's grace, I make my plans ahead of time for the sake of my loved ones. It's a gift of love. It might be the last gift I give to my loved ones, saying, all my important papers are here. All my plans are all arranged. Here are the things I want in my service. It's my gift to you to make your life easier. Any of us here who have walked through these procedures previous to a funeral and all those things that have to be taken care of afterward, how many of us would praise God and say, thanks, Mom, for loving me so much. Thanks, Dad, that you have all your ducks lined up in a row for me. And today, my friends, we have a gift for you. At the end of the service in the narthex, we've picked one of the most handsome men of our congregation, Alan Schellenberg, right, Gretchen, to sit at a table and to hand out to anybody who would take one a planning and information sheet. It's a checklist of all these things you need to prepare. It's also a planning and information sheet you can fill out to get all this stuff going. You can give it to your loved ones, put it in your safety deposit box, give a copy to the pastor's office. When I open my drawer now, I have two of these things from members who have already done it. I'd like to see some more. Beverly and I have already written and prepared our funeral services as an act of faith, to say to the ones we love most, when Jesus calls me home, I want you to have one last thing you have to be concerned about. So today we ask the question, why do we commemorate All Saints Day? For three reasons: to remember, to celebrate, and to prepare. To remember those who have died in the faith before us. So now we take a moment to consider those saints of God whose funeral services have been in this place the year 08 to 09. We remember these saints of God: Paul Medwedrich, J. Gable, Ewald Wischke Sr., Irene Paulson, Elsie Epp. We remember those who have died in the faith, and we celebrate with them God's gift to them of eternal life, where for them there is no more pain or sorrow, only joy is eternal. We also gather to celebrate the victory over sin, the victory over death, the victory over the devil, three strikes and he's out, that God gives us. Saints of God who put our faith in Jesus. And lastly, we gather to prepare ourselves. And that's why Alan will be at that table for you at the narthex. To prepare ourselves for the banquet, for the battle, for the blessing, for the beauty of heaven. Years ago, a church member told me this story about their father, and I want to share it with you. Their father was a loving man who had a very simple and childlike faith in Jesus. Whenever there was a family gathering at Christmas or at a birthday, Father would set up an extra chair and he'd announce to the people, don't sit in that chair, it's reserved for Jesus. And as he kept vigil at his wife's bedside in her last days, He sat in the chair, but he brought an empty one at her bedside, and he said to people, please don't sit in that chair. That chair is reserved for Jesus. And when this dear saint of God himself moved into a nursing home after his wife died, he brought a special chair from home and set it up next to his bed. And he explained to all the staff of the nursing home and those who came to visit, please don't sit in that chair. That chair is reserved for Jesus. One day, when his son came to visit him for his weekly visit, he found his papa sitting up in bed. This loving man had just passed away. And the son found him sitting up in his bed with one arm draped around that chair that was reserved for Jesus. And it was clear to all in whom this dear saint of God trusted and in whose arms he was for all eternity. My friends, may Isaiah's vision of heaven be our hope on this All Saints' Day. Isaiah says, behold, this is our God. We have trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. Blessed All Saints' Day, Saints of God, 2009. In the name of Jesus, Amen.